Hey, Jen, want to talk some more about barriers to married sex?
My list is getting longer.
Great! Today we're going to continue our conversation about common barriers to sex and how we can do a better job of protecting our marriages against these barriers. Let's do it. Welcome to the Intimate Covenant Podcast, where we believe the Bible and great married sex both belong on your kitchen table. That's right, we're talking about holy, covenant-bound, intimate relationships with hot sex.
We're Matt and Jen, founders of Intimate Covenant. We offer biblical teaching and resources to help married couples achieve a fuller relationship and an extraordinary sex life. For more information, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com.
Welcome, friends. Our prayer for you today is that you're relaxed.
Oh, because by the time this podcast releases, we will be relaxed.
Yes, basking in the relaxation and gratefulness of being done with the retreat.
Yes, and relaxation and gratefulness for the couples that joined us at the retreat.
Oh, yes. We know it's going to be such a great weekend, and we can't wait to be there.
Yep.
We also know what it feels like when we're done.
Yes, there's nothing like post-retreat sleep.
Yeah, yes.
We're looking forward to that. But we had to record early because obviously the retreat happens on a weekend and this podcast comes out on a Monday. And so we're recording this early, but by the time it comes out, we'll be done.
And if you're not going to be at the retreat, you can look forward to some future episodes. Our plan is to do a recording with a live audience.
Yeah, we're going to record the podcast live.
So we may get a couple of episodes out of that recording. We're hopeful. But at the very least, we'll see if we can get one of these episodes from the retreat. And so you can get a taste of the atmosphere that we can capture there on the recording. I wanted to start the episode with a response that we got from a listener. If you remember back a few episodes that we did something on decorating your master bedroom.
Right.
And specifically, this listener had some comments about decorating your master bedroom, but really more about how to choose a mattress. So we did go into some detail about that.
Yeah.
So, and I just couldn't help but share this response. This listener, who will remain anonymous unless he lets me know definitively that he wants us to name him, I'll read his response. He says, and I quote, "If you haven't tried sex on an air mattress, you have not lived. As Sir Isaac Newton said, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, and an air mattress's reaction to the initial action and movement is unparalleled. It makes me feel like I've got enough rhythm to be on Soul Train."
Oh, mercy.
He says, "Go buy an air mattress if you don't have one. And caution, don't go cheap and risk busting a hole in it."
Great advice. Thanks.
Yes. And we did talk about a mattress's responsiveness, but I honestly never considered an air mattress. The only time I'm ever on an air mattress is when I'm like in my parents' living room,
right,
because we're on vacation or something, which might not be an appropriate place to have sex.
No,
so,
but put an air mattress up in your master bedroom. This could be fun.
We might have to
let us know if you give this reader's suggestion
a try.
Listener,
looking for some feedback on this.
Okay, but he has more to say.
But he goes on to add, also about the lube. They always sell that stuff in bottles. You got to pick it up, turn it upside down, and squeeze it out. Terrible design. And I couldn't agree more, personally.
Right.
He says, save a pump action soap dispenser or whatever save a pump action soap dispenser or whatever and
add lube
into that for ease and speed of application. And he says, love the podcast.
I love this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listener, for this amazing.
Anonymous listener. This advice is excellent.
It's gold right there.
It is. There's some gold
there. We
could
end the podcast here, and our listeners will have gotten amazing
advice. I mean, that's just great advice. They don't even need us anymore.
That's right. That's right.
We've already delved into the fullness of advice that we need to give today. I do agree. The air mattress is definitely something I'm intrigued about. And the lube suggestion is a great one. I will say that there are lubes that you can purchase that already come in a dispenser.
Yeah, squeeze bottle pump, pump action.
Yes.
The pump action is brilliant because even the squeeze bottle, you got to turn upside down, needs two hands,
right.
That kind of stuff.
The pump action makes it quick, easy, and you can get on with what you need to do instead of, you know, fumbling around and all of that. So that's a great idea. You can even find pumps that are touchless dispensing, warming dispensers that sit on your nightstand.
It's a whole nother level.
That's a different level. Let us know if you've tried those and if you have any feedback about that. All right, great tips. And we would also welcome your tips, your feedback, your questions, your suggestions about the podcast via our email, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. Or you can go to our website, intimatecovenant.com/podcast. You'll see at the top of that page a button that says connect with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that button. You'll get a pop-up form so that you can send feedback anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish.
Right. We love your questions. We love your tips, your tricks.
Yes.
You know, this is, again, our goal here is to be creating a community. And so we want to hear your voice and we will share your voice with our other listeners.
So thanks for the feedback and thanks for the tips and questions.
And humor.
Thank you. Yes. Hopefully you all get a kick out of that.
So Matt, we are continuing our discussion about common barriers to married sex. And as we discussed last week, we all know that these barriers exist in our sex life,
absolutely.
Right? If you've been married for more than 5 minutes, then you know that it often seems like the world is out to ruin your sex life.
That's a great way to put it. And as good as our intentions are, sometimes it seems like life just is going to happen. And mm-hmm. so we just continually run up against things that keep us from having the kind of sex life that we desire.
Right. And really, like again, we talked about last week, instead of naming those barriers and confronting them, what we really tend to do is we just let them simmer just below the surface.
Yep.
And they'll rear their ugly heads and we'll get upset and we'll have conflict over them, but then they just kind of simmer again. We don't ever actually address them, right?
Or we're just letting that quiet resentment build underneath the surface. That's exactly right.
Right. And so we talked about last week that our goal in these episodes is to change that, bring those barriers to light, start that conversation for you guys.
Yep. Name those barriers. We want you to ask yourself, why do these barriers exist? Mm-hmm. What meaning have you connected to these barriers? And what is it in particular that is getting in the way of your sexual connection? We want you to share your barriers with each other through discussion. And then we want you to start to discuss some solutions to those barriers.
Right.
That's your plan. That's our goal. And that should be your plan.
Yeah. And so we went through last week the barriers of kids. Number one barrier, if you have kids, you know they are a barrier to your sex life.
Kids and homeschooling your kids.
We went through homeschooling. Right. And so today we're going to go through a handful of others, starting with health.
That's a big one. It can be a big one for a lot of couples. And, you know, even just along the lines of health, health becomes a more important barrier for most people in their sex lives as you age.
Right.
Because your body just doesn't work like a 20-year-old body anymore.
Right.
The older that you get. You know, aging bodies can certainly become a barrier to sexual intimacy. The older you get, the more likely you are to have physical related or physiologically related sexual dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
That's when erectile dysfunction becomes more of an issue for men.
Mm-hmm.
That's where vaginal dryness can become more of an issue for women as they age, especially around the age of menopause.
Right.
But there are plenty of other physical barriers, other illnesses. So, the older you get, the more likely you are to develop chronic illness. And,
right.
You know,
but plenty of young people have have serious chronic illnesses that interfere with the ability to be sexually intimate with their spouse.
It affects not only your physical ability to perform sexual functions, but it also just makes you feel like not having sex when you're sick all the time.
Right, right.
And that can certainly become a barrier.
And even certain stages of life, like postpartum, I guess we are bringing kids back into this, right? Because after having a baby, beautiful thing, having a baby come out of your body, but it wreaks havoc on a woman's body.
Yeah,
it takes
absolutely
a good handful of weeks for things to get back to normal. But even after that mandatory 6 weeks, are they still saying six weeks
know.
These days?
It's been a while since we had kids.
Praise the Lord. but, you know, it takes a while. But even after that time period has gone by, there are ups and downs to hormones.
Absolutely.
And there are, you know, your period being a week that can affect, you know, that's part of your health,
that's
part of your cycle.
Barrier. That's right.
Right. So lots of times and lots of reasons that our health can end up interfering with our sex life. So what are some solutions to that, Matt?
Well, I think the very first thing that we would recommend, and this goes back to our very first episode, if you haven't listened to episode
way back,
is learning to define sex in a bigger context than just intercourse.
Yes.
When we talk about barriers to sex, we often just immediately jump to that definition of sex that is so limiting, which is just intercourse.
Right. And that's what we think of. When you hear the word sex, you think of penile, vaginal, you know, intercourse.
That's
connection.
Right.
That's how we define it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be limited to that. In fact, it shouldn't be limited to that in your own sex life and in your own perspective. But sex is just simply one of you or both of you deriving sexual pleasure with and from the other.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. And it doesn't even have to be about orgasm.
It absolutely does not have to be. In fact, and that gets to the heart of a lot of things that we have said. Orgasm is not your goal with
exactly.
sex. And so when you redefine sex as not just intercourse, also redefine it as not the goal of orgasm.
Yeah.
So sex then becomes about sharing your sexual energies between yourselves as a couple.
Right.
For the purpose of connection and pleasure.
Yeah. And sometimes that sexual connection is going to involve only one of you having an orgasm. Sometimes it will involve neither of you having an orgasm.
Yeah.
Sometimes both of you might have an orgasm. But the sexual connection will occur and can occur regardless of who is having orgasm or not.
Right. And so sex then can equal one of you pleasuring your own body while the other simply holds you.
And is involved in that process.
Yes, and I think that's a good point, Matt, that we do need to emphasize that you do need to be seeking involvement with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be different levels of that involvement,
absolutely.
Right? And so just a simple spouse who is dealing with problems with their health being in the presence
mm-hmm.
of the spouse that is looking for sexual connection, that alone is sex.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that's certainly a way that there can be sexual connection when one of you is dealing with health limitations that prevent them from being physically mm-hmm. Actively involved.
Right, right. And you know, Matt, I was thinking again about pregnancy. There are times through a woman's pregnancy where she's told not to have an orgasm,
right, sure.
you know, or not to have any kind of penetration. And so this is, you know, great advice for women in that stage of life,
sure.
too.
There are ways for men and women, for husbands and wives to have sexual connection without intercourse, regardless of what your body is able to do.
Right.
I think it's important. And this goes to aging as well. I mean, 90-year-old people can still have sexual connection.
Yes.
Their bodies will not look like and will not perform like they did when they were 20. But that's not the point.
And we've got to lose that sense of, ooh, gross.
Right.
And the thought of older bodies having sex, like how limiting that is to somehow be shamed of that or think that that's gross.
Right.
You know, that disgust. We've got to lose that.
I would go on. I would contend that the kind of sexual connection that can occur when you are older and have older bodies will mean so much more.
Yes.
Than the connection that you can have when you're 20.
And I think we need to do a whole podcast on this, Matt. Okay. We're gonna do that. We'll commit out there.
We'll commit to do that.
Right.
Sex and aging. I think that's an important.
Absolutely
important thing to talk about.
Because you know, again, like you were saying, Matt, it's not so much about the orgasm as it's about the pleasure and the connection
yes.
that can come. And so therefore, pleasure and connection can come at a very deep level when you're 90, as opposed to when you're 20, because frankly, you just have lived more. You have more experience to add to that with
Absolutely.
Your beloved.
Absolutely. And I think we've used this quote before, but Shannon Etheridge has said commonly, just because you can't cut the mustard doesn't mean you can't lick the jar.
That's a very lovely way of putting that.
If you don't get the metaphor, email us. We'll try to explain it individually.
Mercy.
But
Matt will, not me.
The point is, just because your body isn't functioning in one way doesn't mean that you can't provide pleasure in another way.
Right. And I think that gets to the heart of learning to adjust together.
Right.
You know, right. One body part not working doesn't mean sexual connection has to come to an end. It should not. Because
Absolutely.
Again, your sexual connection is not just the icing on the cake
exactly.
or this lovely little benefit when everything's working perfectly. Mm-hmm. You have to see the importance of sexual connection and sexual intimacy in the whole totality of your marriage.
Yeah, and certainly with respect to erectile dysfunction, sex is not dependent on an erection.
Yeah.
You can still have sexual connection whether there is erection or not. You can still provide one another pleasure. But most importantly, you can still provide connection
yes.
to one another whether there is an erection or not, or whether one body part, you know, whether it's an erection or not, or whatever. Whatever body part's not working well shouldn't stop you from having sexual connection in your relationship.
Well, and I think, Matt, this gets to the heart of why this is often a barrier, because frankly, what we're advising here is it's not about what your body parts can or can't do. It is about you bringing your whole self, mm-hmm. you being willing to connect, to see the importance of sexual connection and being willing to bring your mind, to engage
right.
on a much bigger level than just two bodies rubbing together.
Oh, yeah. I think this is an important point, that when your sexual connection is limited because of health problems or aging or whatever it might be, that's an important time for you to really double down on focusing on fulfilling all the other areas of intimacy that you should be working on, your
right.
mental, emotional, and spiritual connections.
Right.
That's when you should be really focusing on that and really overemphasizing those, not overemphasizing, but emphasizing them
yeah.
in a special way. Because that will help you feel more connected sexually when you can't perform the way that you would like to perform.
Right. Not that those are substitute for sexual
no,
connection.
That's right.
Again, not that you can just throw sexual connection out the window.
Right.
But you're exactly right that, you know, that will help you stay connected and stay closer together.
Yeah. And you're right. It's not a substitute for sex, because without sexual intimacy, you're neglecting a really an important part, and I would say a scripturally
yes.
Essential aspect to the marriage relationship.
Right.
If you're neglecting sex, that's a problem in your marriage. But there are ways to overcome health-related and body-related and aging-related issues that might become a barrier, because sex is so much more than just joining your genitals.
Yeah.
And if we believe that, then we also need to believe that we can still have pleasurable and deeply meaningful sex even when our body fails us.
Absolutely. Great place here, I think, Matt, to take a break. And when we come back, we'll go through a couple of other common barriers to sex.
Hey, Jen, want to travel the world meeting strangers and talking to them about married sex?
Are you crazy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, you are a little crazy. But seriously, we are also crazy about meeting new people and talking about God's beautiful plan for marriage and sex. And we would love to come to your community, church, or small group and spend a day or a weekend presenting a customized seminar to your married couples.
Doesn't that sound like fun? We also have material suitable for teenagers and adult singles about holy sexuality, dating, preparing for marriage, and serving in God's kingdom while single.
We want to bring the message of holy sexuality and covenant marriage to your community.
If you want to help make this happen where you are, contact us, feedback@intimatecovenant.com. Let's do it. So health and aging related problems are certainly an important thing for us to consider, and are often a common barrier to sex. All of us are going to age and all of us are going to confront that in our lives. But there are definitely some other things that we wanted to talk about and consider on this episode and maybe in future episodes as well. So speaking of common barriers, every one of you listening to this podcast right now has done so through a device that has a screen.
Yes.
And I think we can all acknowledge that there are great benefits to screens like this podcast.
Right. But screens can be a huge barrier. And by screens, we're including like the whole realm of social media, Netflix binging, you know, everything technology-wise that you bring into your life that can become a distraction.
Yep. Yep. I mean, we have four screens right in front of us right now as we record this podcast.
Yes, because the world we live in is full of screens.
You can't do anything without a screen.
Right.
Screens aren't inherently evil. I think we can acknowledge that.
They're just inanimate objects.
Yes, and they are extremely useful tools in our lives. But the meaning that you attach to your screen and the control that you let that screen have over you is what determines whether it's a barrier or just a tool or
both. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think this can be a big one. And again, this is one that probably one spouse feels very strongly about another spouse's use of screens.
Yeah. And if you don't think they do, you should ask.
Right.
Is this screen a barrier to our relationship at times? And again, it may not always be a problem, but are there times when I'm neglecting my spouse, when I'm neglecting conversation, when I'm neglecting some physical need that they have or some obligation or responsibility?
Or emotional need, exactly.
I think we can all acknowledge that there are probably times that all of us get distracted by what's on our screens to the detriment of our marriage relationship.
Absolutely.
And in this context, we let screens become a barrier to our sexual relationship specifically.
Right, right. So some solutions to that. I mean, it's really simple to say, but probably, harder to do, right? Just put the screens down. Like, that's so simple to say.
Yep. Turn it off. Put it down.
And again, nothing groundbreaking here, but we're trying to challenge you to think about this. So, have you set aside dedicated time to be screen free? And if not, why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Why are you not having specific time in your marriage with your beloved that you are taking out that element of distraction with a screen?
Are we so obsessed and connected to our screen that we're not able, even like emotionally or sometimes physically able, to separate ourselves from our phone? I mean, do you have anxiety when your phone is in another room and you don't have a connection?
And that's real, you know?
Real.
I mean, we don't just say that flippantly, because this is a real problem.
When's the last time you left the house without your phone?
Oh, well, I do that frequently because I forget my phone everywhere.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, some of us need to recondition ourselves by putting our phone away and just not being reachable for a moment. You're just not that important.
No.
No one is.
No, and frankly, if you have an emergency, I'm not the person that you need to be calling, because I'll freak out in your emergency. So I need you to let me know afterwards, but please call the right people first. No. But I think the important thing here, Matt, is that we've got to see that emotional connection with one another is not built when there is a screen in front of us. And that's just a good rule for a whole world, right? You are not building relationships when you are looking at a screen. You're just not. That's not where relationships are built.
Yeah,
but especially with your beloved, if there's a screen in between the two of you, you are not emotionally connecting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that includes if the screen may be not be between you, it may be in front of both of you at the same time, meaning like you're both binging on this Netflix show or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just are zoning out. You're not, that's not connection.
No, that's maybe has a purpose.
Sure.
Certainly there's times to detox,
distraction
to
is important. Yeah.
Yes.
Distraction is an important part of relaxing.
And we want you to do that together. But if all you're ever doing alone with one another is letting a screen distract you, that's not connection.
Nope.
This is why we are big proponents of not going to a movie for date night, because it's just a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about learning to be intentional with our time.
Right.
And when you put those screens down and you create intentional emotional connection, well, that is exactly what leads to a stronger sexual connection.
That's exactly right. Exactly. You've got to add that emotional connection, and you can't get emotionally connected if you're distracted, at least not in an effective way.
Right. And so I'm going to tell you things like turn off the notifications. Your phone does not need to alert you and ding about every news broadcast or even every email that you receive. Again, you are not that important, and you don't need to be that in touch with the world.
Absolutely.
But especially when you are in your bedroom with your beloved, turn off those notifications.
Yeah.
Let your phone go to do not disturb.
Yeah, and do that early in the evening.
Right.
You know, again, if your friends have an emergency, they need to call 911, not you.
Right, right.
And there's no problem with just ignoring the outside world. All the important people to you are probably under your same roof. There's nothing that could happen that will you know, immediately need your attention.
Yeah.
Turn off the notifications and pay attention to each other in a more intentional way.
Well, and I think what this really gets to the heart out, Matt, is we need to understand the importance of eye contact. When you are looking at a screen and talking to someone, number one, you are distracted. Don't tell me that I'm listening when you're staring at a screen, because you're not really, not all the way.
Not in the same way.
But at the very least, your body language is not saying to the person you're with, I am here and you matter and I want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, eye contact is an important way of communicating that you are interested, that you are invested, and that you do actually care.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, we've said this before when we talked about date night, but go somewhere without a screen. At the very least, if you go to a restaurant that has a screen, sit where you can't see that screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, just see the importance of getting away from screens in order to enhance your connection as a whole.
Right.
Especially your sexual connection.
Yeah. And get the screens out of your bedroom. There are definitely, I mean, there's understandably some people like to sit in bed and just scroll, and because that's a way to detox from the day. And I get that. But there should be times where you both are going to your bedroom or going someplace quiet with each other that you can leave your screens out of it.
Right.
It would be very hard to have meaningful sex if you're both scrolling through Facebook at the same time.
This does not happen. Right.
Right. So get the screens out of your bedroom. Just eliminate that distraction altogether.
And again, I think, Matt, you started with this, but if you don't think this is a problem for yourself, ask your spouse, do you think this is a problem for me?
Yes. Is this a barrier to our connection? Is this screen a barrier to us having sex sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, be willing to
listen.
And be willing to be honest with your spouse about that as well.
Right, right. All right, let's go into one more common barrier. And this one seems a little weird on the surface, Matt. People aren't going to really think this is actually a barrier.
Yeah, when I suggested this as a barrier, you were a little confused as to what in the world are you talking about?
All right. So Matt put on our list humor.
Humor is a barrier to sexual connection.
All right. You're going to have to explain this one.
All right. Again, I mean, this seems weird because after all, who doesn't love the funny guy?
Right.
Right. Everybody loves to be entertained and we like to laugh. And how can laughter be a barrier to connection? Well, I think that there's another side to this. Maybe the darker side of humor, if you will, is that there are lots of us who resort to humor as a way to deflect an attempt at vulnerability.
Mm.
When things get tense or we get anxious about vulnerability or we feel like the conversation is going somewhere we don't want to go,
mm-hmm.
we're very quick to throw out a joke mm-hmm. because that lightens the mood. And I understand that. And sometimes that's valuable to lighten the mood, but it's only valuable if that mood lightening, if you will, is a segue to deeper conversation.
Right.
And some of us use humor as a way to just deflect that conversation. We want the conversation to go somewhere else. We don't want to go any deeper. And so we throw out a joke or some kind of teasing, sarcasm, whatever it is. And we use humor as a way to just deflect.
Yeah. Humor can just... It can make everyone laugh, but it can also keep everyone at arm's length,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
It's which might be fine with your friends. There's
right.
good.
Sure.
Be the funny guy in your friend group.
And sometimes there are friends that you're going to have where that's as deep as you need to go. And so
sure.
the joke is the joke, and that's fun, and you're the funny guy.
Funny guy in the bedroom or in the middle of a serious and deep conversation isn't actually funny.
Yeah.
In fact, it becomes a barrier to real connection.
Right. It's a way to avoid vulnerability. And you might still be able to use your jokes and still have sex, but you're not going to have the deep conversation that was necessary to have a deeper, more meaningful experience for
right.
both of you.
Now, we're not saying there's anything wrong with a good sense of humor.
Nope.
I hope you laugh often together.
I mean, we started the whole podcast with some pretty humorous stuff.
Absolutely. But if every interaction with your spouse results in you making a joke, stop and consider why that is.
Yep. Why do I have to be the funny guy in every situation?
Mm-hmm.
Or girl? I mean, mm-hmm. I guess it's not
right.
limited
well,
to guys.
Well, we're using that as a phrase, right?
Right?
So ask yourself, does your humor bring you closer to your spouse or does it actually push them away?
Yeah. Are you trying to keep them at arm's length? Does your humor help get you and your spouse to a deeper place of conversation? Does
mm-hmm.
it help move the conversation deeper, or is it stopping the conversation?
Is it a bridge or a wall?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and quite honestly, the question really is, would your spouse answer the same way?
Yeah.
So if you're the funny guy in your marriage, ask your spouse, what do you think of my humor?
Yeah, do I use my humor as a bridge or as a wall?
Right, right. So some solutions to that. Well, I think first and foremost, learn to embrace vulnerability with your spouse. Because
mm-hmm.
again, that's kind of the heart of all of this. Humor is a barrier when it's used to be that wall in between you and your
yeah.
beloved.
And you just have to learn to be willing to have deep and serious conversations and resist that urge to try to lighten the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the mood doesn't need to be lightened. You need to sit in the gravity of the moment and in the gravity of that discussion. And understand and see and hopefully be introspective about when I'm trying to use that joke just to try to change the subject.
Right. And I think, Matt, that's really the heart of the matter is that when we are using humor to try and deflect, when we don't want to sit
mm-hmm.
in that it's uncomfortable
it is.
To face the depth of our emotions sometimes.
It is. It's uncomfortable to sit there, and there's a lot of anxiety that occurs for a lot of us when things start getting intimate or vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
That will automatically light up some anxiety centers in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to learn how to lean into that discomfort and lean into that anxiety that we're faced with. And first is just to pause in those moments where you feel tempted to just lighten the mood or change the subject or throw out that meaningless
mm-hmm.
joke. Learn to stop and acknowledge, sit in that anxiety for a moment and just recognize it and acknowledge it at least to yourself. But even it sometimes is helpful just to acknowledge it to your spouse. Say,
yes,
I'm a little uncomfortable with where this conversation is going, and I'm really tempted to just throw out a joke here.
Blow it off.
So we can blow
right.
this away.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know, spouse, that I'm sitting here in a little bit of anxiety about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really then that instead of responding with that joke, you're responding with a feeling.
Yes. And I think that's the real thing is learn to respond with feeling. And sometimes that starts with just a surface feeling. Whatever you are immediately feeling is going to be something like anger or fear or anxiety.
Yeah.
But recognize that those surface feelings are coming from something much deeper. Mm. And this is where the hard work happens. This is where real vulnerability happens. This is where real self-discovery happens. Is once you acknowledge that surface feeling, you got to try to reach for where that deeper feeling is.
Right. Like, are you really feeling distrust, mm-hmm. or suspicion or a sense of helplessness? You know, right. What is that deeper emotion that you're feeling? Mm-hmm. And again, not every joke is meant to avoid vulnerability, but often that's the heart of a joke. Yeah. And that's fine in a social setting, mm-hmm. but it's not fine in your bedroom.
That's
so
right.
Again, this becomes a barrier to your sex life when it's keeping you from really being engaged with your spouse.
Yep. And just recognize that you have to look for that deeper connection so that you can find your way towards much deeper discussion about yourself and about your relationship. And that's ultimately the goal.
All right. So we've gone through three more common barriers: health, screens, and humor. Not necessarily ones that are on everybody's list, but we hope that this spurs you to continue the discussion in your marriage.
And it also means we're going to have to do some more episodes on this.
That's right. We have more on our list.
Our list is longer, and yours probably is too. Again, this is an opportunity and an invitation for you to submit your own suggestions.
Right.
What are the barriers in your relationship? What barriers are tough for you to handle? Mm-hmm. And what are some tips that you have found in maybe overcoming some of the barriers that you've been able to more effectively overcome?
Sounds good. Matt, give us our wrap up.
All right. Learning to identify and eliminate barriers to sex in our relationships requires honest introspection and humility. This process will improve our married sex lives, but also will benefit every other aspect of your relationship. Since sex is so much more than joining our genitals, we can still have pleasurable and deeply meaningful sex, even if our body fails us. And finally, put down your screens and be willing to lean into vulnerable conversations. The risk and anxiety will be worth it for your relationship.
Now it's time to grab your spouse and your Bible and head to your kitchen table to have the conversation about what barriers to oneness and connection are in your marriage. How can you both do a better job at identifying and addressing these barriers?
Thanks for listening, subscribing, rating, sharing, and for all your support. Until next time, keep striving and don't settle. Thank you for listening. If you have something to add, we would invite your feedback, questions, and suggestions via our email, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. To submit anonymous questions and feedback, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com/podcast. Click on the button, Contact the Podcast, for an anonymous submission form.
In addition to this podcast, Intimate Covenant offers group Bible studies, private couples coaching, premarital counseling, weekend seminars, and an annual marriage retreat. We would love to continue the conversation about God's plan for intimate marriage and holy sexuality with you and your friends.
If you're interested in bringing us to your church or small group, please contact us, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. May God continue to bless your marriage.